This video may have some anime undertones in it, but for the most part, it's mainly just going to be about what I've been learning over the past couple of months that I kind of want to share with you guys because it has been life-changing, and I think that a lot of people can find value out of the information that I've been able to obtain from just listening to other people's knowledge, expertise, skill sets over the past couple of weeks/months. This is more recent. I've been doing this for years. I've always started out reading this one book called The One Thing that snowballed into other books and podcasts and individuals and people. The knowledge has just kind of accumulated over the years. And I've gotten to the point to where that knowledge has finally started to all compound upon itself, and everything is just making sense in ways that I never really expected it to. And I want to share my experiences with you guys through a couple of stories that have happened the other day. And it's been some trial and error, I'll say that to begin with, just because I wanted to see if there was some legitimacy behind it. And now that I'm seeing that there is, I don't think I can look at the world the same way any longer. Like, I believe the world is still the world, don't get me wrong, but I'm starting to understand that we have a lot more control over our environment and the world around us than I think we originally presumed that we did. The other day, this past weekend, I was like, you know, I'm going to take a bike ride, and I'm going to be gone all day. I'll just ride around town. I'll figure it out. No plan, no goal, no destination, no end in sight of where I needed to be. It was just like, let's just go, take a ride. Wherever my body feels like going is where it's going to go. And this is exactly what happened. I got on the trail. I was like, let's make a right turn here. Let's go this way. Let's do this. Let's go here. Let's go there. And a little bit of backstory for this as well, too, is with my bike, I have a mountain bike right now, and I've been trying to sell it, and or I guess I've thought about selling it. And there's this guy I've been listening to, Neville Goddard. And Neville Goddard he's kind of like an Alan Watts, which if you don't know who Alan Watts is as well, he was a Western philosopher. Neville Goddard is more of a religious figure, I would say, but not in the ways that you would assume a religious figure to be. He's more of a imaginist, opportunist, creative. He's somebody that believes like we are God ourselves and we have the power to do anything that we set our minds and our imagination to. And I'm going to be coming back to that idea and kind of explaining a little bit about it, because that's what this whole video centers around, essentially. I was listening to his lectures and I was like, you know, what's the worst that'll happen? The worst that happens is nothing actually comes true. Nothing is actually truly seen. Nothing actually really transforms. It's just over the past couple of days of me imagining, at first I was like, okay, I'm going to imagine myself holding a lacrosse ball. Because in one of the lectures that he was talking about, he was like, okay, imagine yourself holding a baseball. But I didn't see a baseball. I saw more of a lacrosse ball, and I was holding it and I was feeling it within my hands, and it felt as if it was real. You can kind of look at it this way, is when you are afraid of something, say you're out in the ocean, you're swimming in the ocean, or you're swimming in a lake, or you're out in the woods, your mind plays tricks on you. You think that there's going to be a shark or a jellyfish or a turtle, something that could possibly cause you harm, or there might even be a Bigfoot, there's bears, there's bobcats, there's lions, like there's things that can attack you. And when that happens, your heart rate will start to impact it. Like, just take this simple exercise with me really quick. Sorry about that. Just take this simple exercise with me real quick, and I want you to close your eyes for a quick second. Imagine yourself in the middle of the woods or the ocean, whichever one terrifies you the most. Imagine yourself floating in the middle of the ocean. Nobody is out there to help you out, or you're in the middle of the woods and you are completely stranded. You're lost. It's starting to become nightfall. You wandered off the trail in the wrong way, and now you're like, huh, I have no place to go. The mind has two ways of reacting to this. Only two. There's no more, there's no less. There's two ways that it can react. One, it's going to initiate fears that you are creating within your own head because you are scared of what can become. And that fear is going to set you down a path of destruction of self, self-fear, self-condemnation. It's basically going to ruin everything that you have. And the second one is you could look at it more in a positive way of like, you know, yeah, it's starting to become nightfall, or, you know, I'm in the middle of the ocean. There's going to be a ship coming up anytime soon, or somebody's going to shine their light and be like, hey, I see you over there. Are you okay? And you're like, no, I actually need some help. Like, can you guys help me out? And you do this by imagining this within your own head. If you're like, if you truly believe and understand that somebody is going to come and save you, that person is going to come and save you. No matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you are, no matter the situation that you're in, that person is going to come and save you. As long as you feel as if you are truly experiencing that moment in this given point in time, it is going to happen. I can vouch for this because, as I was saying, I was trying to sell my bike. My bicycle is a mountain bike. It's a bike that I am wanting to sell so that I can have a road bike. And I am on the fence with selling it. It's like, yes, I would like to sell it, but also at the same time, it's like, I don't, because it's my very first bike. It was a great bike. So I kind of just put out the feelers into my own mind of like, you know, let me just see if I can, if anybody's even interested in my bike. So on my bike ride that I took yesterday, one of the guys I ran into was like, yeah, I'm looking to buy a bike, because his old mountain bike, or his bike that he has, is just a normal standard mountain bike. It's a hard tail, so he has suspension up front. It's not a very, like, it was a good bike, don't get me wrong. But the bike that I had, it was a lot better. There's full suspension, an upgraded fork, a dropper seat. And if you know anything about mountain bikes, you'll understand, like, there's different levels that you can upgrade. So my bike was maybe $3,500 or so when I first bought it. And the guy that I put it out into the universe was willing to be interested in buying the bike. I had never met this dude before. I just rode up to a random hill and I was sitting on a bench and I started talking to one guy and then I started talking to another guy. And then all of a sudden, he's like, hey, this is a nice bike. I was like, yeah, take it for a ride, send it around. He's asking me how much it is, like, how much does one of these things go for? And with me being in sales and understanding, like, hey, this is a buying signal, and I kind of ruined the sale because I should have just straight up been like, hey, what do you think this bike is worth? And then let him say his number instead of me telling him what I originally bought it for. And that's a mistake. And that's, the imagination can change the past and it can change the future. And I'll touch on that as well. The mistake that I made was I just didn't ask him how much he would pay for it, but he was still riding around, like, and I had never, like, up until this point, there's never a time where I was like, you know, I want to sell my bike, I want to do this, or I want to get rid of this so that I can buy something brand new. And I ended up ruining that sale on purpose, and I know why I did it, and I've done this at work as well too. And it's just kind of a way for me to be like, hey, is this legit? Because there's other times where it's like, I need to, I'll close a deal, make sure it happens, like, there's no issue there whatsoever. But it's very strange to say that I was able to find somebody, or somebody was like, yeah, I'd buy this bike for you. Like, they were interested in it. So me having to truly think and feel the possession of the mind of somebody actually wanting to buy my mountain bike, handing me the cash, feeling it within my hands, like trading over the bike to him, is a reality. Because the only reality we ever have is within our own head. Yes, we are communicating with other people, and yes, we are having conversations with them. It's just, it's all in our head. And I don't know, I'm trying to still wrestle with this idea, because with what I was telling you about the lacrosse ball, of me imagining it within my hand, and I know I'm jumping all over the place, and I do apologize. I'm working on making this a little bit better for you guys, actually a lot better, and that's why we're doing some of these long form videos as well from time to time. But with the lacrosse ball, is I was holding it in my hand, and then the next morning, or I think it might have even been, I'm pretty sure it was the exact next morning, I look over to the field on one of my morning walks, and there's a lacrosse ball sitting out there in the field. And I was like, okay, this is kind of strange, but yeah, this is cool. And I was like, this can't be real. But I was like, you know, let's not, I'm not going to be skeptical. I'm going to try it again. And took the exact same walk the next morning. It's just that night I was imagining like a golf ball. I was like, you know, I'd like a nice golf ball, like hold it in my hands, feel the little nubby things or like the holes that you feel on a golf ball. And I felt it on my hand. And the next morning I took a walk, the exact same path, looked exactly the ways that I did prior. And what do you think I found? I found a golf ball. Even on the second walk that I took that day, I found another golf ball in a place that I never would have expected. And I was like, okay, let me try something completely different, something that's odd. I was going for the $100 bill. Like, this was something that I heard from Edward Norton, Edward Art. He's on YouTube as well, and I'll link his videos down below because I think they're incredibly helpful, and he'll probably explain it way better than I do in this. But he was talking about a $100 bill, and I was like, okay, well, I don't think I needed the cash. Like, I'm good. I can help people out where I need to. Me finding a $100 bill, like, yes, it'd be cool, but it's not an end-all be-all. But I was looking at the number 100 in my head over and over and over again, and I was imagining just seeing it. And I kid you not, the next day, I see 100. It took me a second because it was kind of hidden. Like, it was, and that was what I was seeing in my mind was, I was seeing, it was like, it needs to be hidden. It needs to be somewhat kind of hard to see, but it needs to be something where I can see 100. And I see 100 written on this bag that's kind of hidden under the trees. Like, I had to move it around a little bit. I was like, okay, well, this is also kind of strange. And I was like, okay, well, this can't be all there is. So I ended up also, and this one I might have been thinking because of this one I'm still a little weary about, but I found some AirPod Pro case as well. And I was like, okay, well, I didn't need the AirPods itself, so the case was empty. But I just found an AirPod Pro case that either somebody had missed or lost or something. It was very bizarre. And I was like, okay, well, now there's another thing. So on my bike ride, when I was riding, I was kind of like, you know what? Let me just ride around. Like, wherever I need to go, I'm going to ride around. And whenever I needed to go to the bathroom, regardless of where I was at, if I took a right or if I took a left when I needed to go, there was an outhouse, like a porta potty, just sitting there for me to use. And I was like, what are the odds? And it wasn't in like a normal construction area. Like, it would be in a nice neighborhood, and there would be multiple ones of them too. I was like, what are the odds of me finding an outhouse in this neighborhood when I turned, or a porta potty when I turned, and then there one is. And so I go to the bathroom in there, and I was like, okay, this is actually really nice. And then there was another one, because I was like, this is crazy. And then all of a sudden another one pops up too, and I'm like, what? And I. Some people might say, and this very well could be the fact, but maybe this is their way of being able to justify how it is because it doesn't sound as absurd. It's the whole notion of, like, when you start thinking of something, you see that thing everywhere. So people talk about seeing a car. Like, let's say you're looking for a brand new Porsche 911, or you want to buy a brand new sports car. Like, everybody starts to talk about that, or you start thinking about it, and then all of a sudden, you'll see them on the road all the time. It might not be that many, especially if it's a rare car and you want to stand out amongst the crowd. You'll occasionally see them sprinkled in everywhere else. It's the same thing with a Ferrari, a Nissan, a Rogue, a Jeep, a whatever car, whatever thing that you imagine. You'll start to see more of it because you're starting to focus on that subject or on that idea of what it may be. And I think it's the same thing, and that's why I believe that once you start to think about it, it does become reality, because our thoughts are our reality, and our minds are just, or I guess our bodies are just experiencing what our minds think. So if you think that you are ruining a relationship, then you probably are. If you think that you are being the best boyfriend ever, then you probably are. It's essentially just persistent in the assumption that whatever you believe is true is true. And it's about removing reason. And on my ride the other day, I had that thought. I was like, because we're always told it's, or you hear things on TV where it's like, so-and-so, they won't listen to reason. So-and-so won't listen to reason. And it's like, why do we have to listen to reason? Who says we have to? People thought it was impossible for somebody to run a sub-4-minute mile. The reason was they didn't think that it was possible. But then somebody broke that record because they had the vision inside of their head first. That's like, you know what? I'm going to run faster than anybody else ever has beforehand. I'm going to beat this record. And I'm going to show that it's possible. And once somebody sees that it's possible, everybody else does the same thing too. But it had to start with the idea in that one person's head prior to that happening. It's the same thing with everything that we do. We have to have the thought. People that wanted to buy the Wright brothers, they wanted to have a plane. They wanted to be able to fly in the sky to be able to show everybody that flight is possible. People then created helicopters, drones, other flying objects that defy the rules of gravity. Time is also nonlinear because you can go back, and this is a concept in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and I am more than happy to have a one-on-one conversation with you as well about this because I think there is a lot of value to be had in NLP. It's essentially, it's you going back into your own memory and changing that memory to be the way that you wanted it to be so that the next time that similar situation arises, you'll be set. And I have a story for this as well too, is I was at a bar and I was getting drinks. I didn't have much food. So I was pretty drunk that night. Like I had experienced what I needed to experience. I was having a good time. Like I was sitting by the bathroom and I really needed to go to the bathroom actually. And there's a long line. It was like two, maybe three doors. They're all family restrooms. So like you can imagine yourself like sitting at the bar, you're drunk. You really have to go pee and there's a line and you're like, I can't wait this long. So I'm like, you know what? Let me ask this dude that's standing in line. I'm like, hey, you know what, man? I really got to pee. Like, do you care if I just take a piss in the sink while you're going to the toilet? He's like, nah, dude. But then the girl behind him was like, you can come in with me. I was like, okay, cool. So I went into the bathroom with her. I pissed in the sink. She pissed normally. We locked eyes. And we went along our separate ways. I've changed that memory since then to be the, okay, you know, when we went into the bathroom, she's like, hey, I want to, you know, have some fun time with you. And I'm like, okay, cool. And we have some fun time. We go our separate ways and we continue on. And this was after I messed up the first time. So then I'm talking with a girl on one of the dating apps, Hinge. And we go to the bar and all of a sudden she brings up like, yeah, I just did this to this one dude in the bathroom. And I was like, what is happening right now? This was prior to me listening to Neville and the imagination and understanding that like it does kind of change. But I always knew in the back of my mind that like if I change the moment from the past, and I was always focused on the past. Like that was my big thing, was like, let me change the past to make sure that my future can be better. And you can also focus on the future to make your future better. Like that's where the real power comes in. So the girl, she was telling me that she was able to create, like she was like, hey, I went to the bathroom. I did this with this one dude. And I had the idea. I was like, you know, I could text her and have her come out of the bathroom and do the exact same thing to me. But I was like, you know, let's just bring her back to my place instead. Like it'll be easier that way instead. But there was, and that was the crazy part, because I was like, let me go. Because my friend, he gave me some shit about doing that, about missing the opportunity with the first girl. I was like, dude, in today's day and age, and you guys can let me know about this in the comments down below. Like, if a girl lets you go into the bathroom, I probably did miss an opportunity. But it's also kind of scary because, like, you never know what the girl's going to say. Especially since I was just mainly focused on going to the bathroom. And that was my big thing. Even though I did realize it was for me to prove a point to my sister, that's like, hey, yeah, you know, you really, I got nothing else. Like, this is just how I am. This is who I am, and this is what I do. And people can think whatever they want to think. And that conclusion has completely transformed my life, and I absolutely love it. The thing that I am actually working on getting across right now is I envisioned me meeting up with another girl and having the exact same situation. And I didn't even think about this at the time because I didn't know any better. But of the events transpiring in the ways that I wanted it to, and they did, just with a different woman. And I felt the same feelings that I would feel, and that's why NLP is so valuable, because you relive that moment with the same emotions, the same feeling, the same tone, the same everything, if you're trying to transform the past, but then live it in the way that you want it to, because that's how it will be in reality. It might take some time for it to catch up. Neville Goddard, he talks about this. He talks about how essentially every lifespan has a different amount of time. A baby has 9 months to be born. A chicken, I think, was like 14. Horses is a year. Pigs are 6 months. I'm not exactly sure. Don't quote me on that. But everything takes its own time to grow into what it needs to. Sometimes something great can happen overnight. Other times it can take 6 months. And it really just depends on the mindset that you have. Like the girl I'm talking with right now, her and I, we've gone out once. But I understand, like, I know that I've been visualizing and imagining us being together, and I know it's going to happen. I have no doubt in my mind. And I'm not doing it in a weird roundabout way of, like, being a creepy dude, because people that do that, like, it's not a good look, dude. If you're one of those guys out here and you've made it this far in this video, like, don't be that guy. Don't be the dude that's being overly obsessed, asking question after question after question after question. Just provide value. Provide value of your day. Show her what you do on a given day. Show her, and when I say show her, I mean send it just to her. If she really is the woman that you want to marry, if she really is the woman that you say is the idol that you could spend the rest of your life with, don't share it anywhere other than to her, because she's the only one that really matters. Social media is great. And like, this is what I do on my social media, is like, I don't need the facial recognition that I have been able to change somebody's life. If this audio is able to help you get out of the rut of living in your mom's basement, of wherever you're at in your life, like, I've done my job. And like I've said in other videos, is I hope that you only watch my videos maybe once or twice, and then you go experience them and you actually try it. And that's what I'm getting across with this imagination, is you have to try it. You really, really, really have to try it. Because I would even imagine, like, and this is the craziest part of it all. Like, when I was on my ride the other day, I would imagine, so like, cars would be out in the crosswalk, as most cars are. And then I would imagine in that split second, like, this car moving back in out of my way so I wouldn't have to go around and in front of him. And you know the crazy part about that? The cars moved every single time, except the one time that I didn't think of it. It didn't move. There was another opportunity where these kids were walking across the street. They screamed, and then they did a little dance in the middle of the road. And I was like, what are the odds of that happening? Because I thought they were just going to walk, but they literally were like, ah! And then they did like a little dance in front of the cars, and then they continued on as if nothing had ever happened. And when I was sitting there, I was thinking, I was like, you know, I'm just curious as to what these kids are going to do. Are they just going to walk across the street, or are they going to do something? They did something. So I was like, okay, this is also kind of strange. I was also wanting to see, like, I needed some insight from a married couple with, and I probably should have talked. I did miss one other opportunity, and I know this as well. And that was because I was looking at something, which I'll touch on in a second. But yeah, it was like, I wanted to talk to a couple essentially, like, that had dogs, that, and asked them, like, how'd you guys find the success in your relationship that you have? Because I'm working on doing the exact same thing with the woman that I'm talking with right now. And I am under the assumption that she is a real woman. She's not somebody that's just trying to play around, mess around to have just a good time. Like, she's genuinely wanting to build a real life. And that's why I am putting in the time and effort that I am, because I can see that a real woman is, you have to chip away. You can't just expect it to just go smoothly your first time, which I have no issue with that. None whatsoever. I'm happy having to wait. So that's not an issue for me. Me doing what I do to be able to be with her, at least show her what I'm doing, like, that's all that really matters to me. And the couple that I ended up pulling up on, like, these dogs, dude, dogs and birds. I'm going to touch on this in a second, because dogs and birds, bro, these two are, I don't like, it's crazy. So, and I was talking to my sister about this last night too, was, so essentially the couple that I ran into when I was on the road biking, like, dogs helped me to be able to break the ice with certain people, which was fantastic, because there's the couple, and it was weird, it was funny, and the comment that she said too was incredible, because I'm talking with them, like, we're shooting the shit pretty much for a little bit, but they had a dog that wasn't on a leash. I was like, hey, can I say hi? This dog was amazing, it was incredible. And there's three dogs, and two, I mean, I think they're all girls, they might have been, but there's three dogs. Two were on leashes and one wasn't. And I was telling this to my sister. I was like, I feel like I'm finally off that leash, whereas you two are still on the leash. And the dogs, when I was looking there, I was like, you know, I'm the one that's off the leash. I'm the one that's finally been trained that can just do what he needs to do. Like, I'm still there for my family. I'm still there when they need me, but I'm primarily my own independent person. And if I want to go somewhere, I'm going to go somewhere. That's just kind of how it is. But the other two dogs, they were still on the leash. They were still being contained by our parents, which is nothing wrong with that, but that's just how it was. And that's why the comment that I think her name was Holly, she ended up saying, she's like, you know, I should be your mom. And I was like, this is so, so bizarre. Because they seem like the family that was perfect. So I was like, okay, yeah, that's, why not? And that's why the dogs, it was like a family of dogs of three, two parents. Like, it just made sense. It jived. You might have had to be there, but you picture it. You have a family of three, a family of five, essentially, because that's what it was. You have two still on the leash, one not. Me being off, my two sisters still being on it because they're still need to be funded by my parents in some way, shape, or form, whereas I am completely independent now, and I don't have that anymore, which is incredible to have. And then you have the two older people, like the two parents. So it was a great time talking with them. And they're like, I was telling them about the girl problem. Not even the problem, but I was telling them about what I want in a woman and how it's like, I need to have a woman that I don't need her to be like me, because I'm not expecting her to go through the exercise that I go through, the pain, the torment, the gratitude. Like, I don't expect for her to put in as much time and effort into what she does. Like, yes, she should be passionate about what she does, but I don't expect her to work as hard as I do. I don't expect her to put her body through as much, I guess, physical, I don't want to say abuse, but physical stamina, physical, like, just physical activities that I do. And I was telling them to her, and then the wife of the husband was Holly and Mike, I'm pretty sure is what their names were. Holly was like, you know, I wish that you're older, because I have perfect friends to hook you up with. And there's one of her friends, she's like, she just had a baby, and I should be like, yeah, I'm looking to have kids as well too. And that's the thing with the girl that I'm talking with right now, and she's wanting kids, I'm wanting kids, like it's all gonna work itself out. She's like, yeah, if you were younger, I'd totally hook you up with her. And then the husband was like, yeah, you know what, you're gonna be good, man. Like, he did say my name, but he's like, yeah, you have no, I'm not worried about you. And hearing this from complete strangers in a very short period of time really does give me high hopes, just that things are gonna work out. And the husband, Mike, will say, he said something very profound, because when I was telling them about the story about what I was doing and where I was going, I was like, yeah, I literally have no idea where I'm at right now. I just got on my bike and I'm riding around. My phone's dead. Like, I have no clue. The wife was trying to explain. She's like, oh, you can use my phone, this, that, the other thing. I was like, no, it's really no big deal, you guys. I do appreciate that. And he's like, yeah, it's more just about the journey, like not the destination. The journey should be the fun part. The destination is just a byproduct of what we do. Like, with what I do here is I just genuinely love sharing the knowledge that I find. And by me doing it in a faceless way with a community that I was very interested in until I found out about this other world, if I can help you guys do the exact same thing by kind of showing you that there is another world other than this, then I've done my job. And like, you'll start to realize that people are different too. Like, everybody's going to be different, because there's a part where, like, when we were talking, the husband, wife, and then myself, we were all communicating, we were all talking, and the husband got the question that I was asking, because he's like, oh, do you have a dog? And I was like, no, I've always wanted one, but it's like, do you think that I would be able to have the dog out all day on to go bike riding with me? And they're like, the husband got exactly what I was saying, and he was trying to explain it to his wife, but she wasn't understanding it. So I ended up listening to her first, and I was like, because she was talking about, oh, well, do you have an apartment? Do you have somebody else that could let him out? And I was like, I just listened to her at first. Once I listened to her and she understood that she was heard, because I don't think a lot of people are ever really heard anymore. So I was like, you know, I'll listen. Like, let me listen to her. Once I listened to her, I was like, yeah, that's perfect. And yeah, and I was more just wondering about, like, on the bike ride. She's like, oh, yeah, no. Sometimes people don't understand the question that you ask, so you kind of have to listen to what they say and then rephrase your question or re-ask it in a different way after you acknowledge what they told you. And I know that's kind of off topic with the whole imagination, and I can have another video on being able to pick up on people's, say, nonverbal communication or just their overall tonality and their communication, because this helps you out with selling, with people, with human interactions, with everything that you do in your life, being able to understand when to go for the kill, when for not to go for the kill, when to listen, when to ask a question, when to just have a general conversation. Like, it's something that you need to do. And I was able to do this by asking myself, like, hey, what does Joe Rogan do when he's having his conversations? And it was just a very, very, very helpful way for me to be able to learn how to communicate better, because clearly when somebody's wanting to listen to a podcast for 3+ hours, sometimes 4, clearly whatever that dude is doing with his communication skills is something that I can learn from. And communication is a skill within itself, which I didn't really understand at first, but it is. That's my little rant about communication. More than happy to do another long form video on communicating. If you do, if you made it this far, let me know. Write comment or like communication in the comments down below, and I'll make a long form video about that as well. The big thing, so kind of back to the whole imagination that I was just talking about as well. So we got to the couple with the dogs and the leashes, and we had that. We talked about the dude that was wanting to buy my bike when I was thinking about selling my bike. We talked about me finding a lacrosse ball, about me finding a golf ball after imagining it, me finding a $100 bill after me imagining it and feeling it within my hands. That's all true. That all happened, and it's amazing. The next bit, this is the craziest bit of all. And it was happening even prior to this day, but everything just, when I went out on the bike ride yesterday, I was like, let's behave as if I was in the Matrix, you know? Like, as if I have complete and utter control over my reality. Whatever I think comes true, okay? So there was times when the cars would stop, every single car. If I wanted the light to turn red, I'd make the light turn red. If I wanted the light to turn green, the light would turn green before I got there. The cars would start up after I started moving. The cars would slow down if I needed them to slow down when I needed to pass. the cars would even sometimes, like, I was like, let me test this. There's one spot where I was at where I was like, let's kind of terrify myself a little bit. And there's this one lady where she literally swerved and was about to hit me because that was what I was imagining. And that's what happened in reality. And then I just raised my hand. I was like, nah. And she ended up turning a different way and we were all good. Like there's no issue there. So the cars, and I had the control over them. I had the control over the lights. I had control over my body, over the feelings that I was feeling in ways that I had never experienced before. I ended up making my way to a parking garage. And this is where I started to come to the real reality that what I was thinking was true, and with the analogy that I gave earlier about the being trapped in the woods or being trapped in, say, the ocean. This is the reason why I did this, was because when I ended up at the parking garage, I ended up staying on the top of it for a little bit, looking at this building, because this building was incredible. It was an amazing building. Like, I was imagining myself on the top story, looking down at myself, waving at myself, being like, hey, good job. You keep staring up and imagining you being here, because eventually you will. Like, you'll be at the top, you'll be on the top floor, nobody's going to question that whatsoever. And after I did that, after I did my imagination of in the future, I ended up meditating after that on just on the top of the parking garage under the shade for a little bit. And my mind made it sound like there was somebody walking up towards me. And it started to terrify me. I was like, oh, there's nobody here. Like, there's no way somebody could sneak up on me like that. But my mind, bro, my mind made it feel as if there was truly somebody there. I knew there wasn't. I opened my eyes regardless to prove the point that there was nobody there. But my mind made it feel so real that there was somebody there. And this is why I'm saying, like, if our minds can make us terrified of anything, then why can't our minds also make it so that we can succeed in anything? You know? It's an unrelenting belief and faith that it will come true. And something, after I was having the conversation with my sister, she was saying she was doing this at once too, but she became too powerful and was like, she was getting everything that she needed. And I was like, you know, why is that a bad thing? Why can't I have everything that I want? Why can't everybody have everything that they want? Most people that watch this video, they might not act on it, which is cool. Like, that's fine. If you don't want to live the world, if you don't want to live in a way that is immaculate, and that is something else that I found out, is it's a strategy that people, and it's off the type of imagination. This is more sales tactic, and I can go more in depth on this as well in another video as well. Doing the takeaway, you have to do the takeaway right if you're really going to do it. And what I was just doing right there is partially the takeaway, but I'm trying to eliminate the takeaway and, I guess, sell the idea in a different way, shape, or form that is possibly more valuable, because the takeaway's never really been it was at first, but once I understood it, and I guess, yeah, we'll touch on that later. The takeaway can be useful. It just really does depend on how you use it. You can't just give a normal, like, oh, well, if you don't want to do this, that's fine. I completely understand. It's got to be like, hey, if you don't want to do this, like, that's fine. It's your life. It's your money, like, that you're putting on the line. Like, you could be living something, a completely different life. But I get it. Like, not everybody wants to take the risk. Not everybody is able to try something new and realize that this is going to have a much higher impact on their life. Like, I understand it. Like, not for everybody. For me personally, like, I'd at least want to try it out for 30, 60, 90 days. Because there's no way for me to really make a true and honest decision until I try it. But like I said, I'm not you, you're not me. Like, this is just my personal take. Like, I have to try something first and really kind of involve myself in the project to see how much time it really saves me or to see how much it really has an impact on my life. Like, I go to the gym a lot, so if I was just giving up after one day of been like, oh, this doesn't work, it's too expensive, I wouldn't have found the value and success that I have in my life. So being able to just try it, you'll find out that there is a lot more to be had from doing it. And if you don't like the product, shoot me an email. I'll send it over to our customer success team. They'll make sure that you get back on the old version of payments that you were on beforehand or get back to how you were prior. And yeah, it'll be fine. But that's how you really do a takeaway. And I know that's also off the topic of the imagination, but kind of what I was saying was my sister said she was becoming too powerful and why I think that you do need to try it. Like, just try it. What's the worst that'll happen? Your life doesn't change? Okay. You're not any worse off. Or, on the flip side, your life changes. Your life gets so much better. And wouldn't you say that that's worth 90 days? Wouldn't you say that's worth your time? I would. I'd put anything on that. If I could start small, and don't get me wrong, you have to do the action as well. You can't just think it and imagine and it'll just magically come in. That's not how it works. You have to put in the work along with thinking about it. Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, like, you can think about it. Don't get me wrong, and I've proven that. But you still have to put in the work. Like, the messages, your body will just know. You have to trust your intuition. You can't be second guessing yourself of, oh, is this the right thing or is that the right thing? Like, abandon all reason. Abandon all reason. Every last bit of reason, because reason is what will kill everything. And I explained this to my sister last night when she was giving reasons for why something wasn't going to be the case. I was like, see, you just reasoned for why it wasn't true, and this is probably why it's not working. And she's like, it's actually true. And I was like, yeah, too many people reason with why something isn't working. And I know I've been guilty of that in the past as well, of like, well, what if this or what if that or what if this or what if that? And the guy that I was talking to, which is another crazy thing as well too, the dude that was looking to buy my bike, is he said he tries to prevent what ifs. Like, that's essentially his job, is he's preventing what ifs. And I'm like, that's actually a really good point, because I can also prevent what ifs. Like, there is no reason to have a what if you already established that within your mind, then there is no reason for there to be a what if, because it's already solved. And I was like, that's actually really, really insightful. It really was. Everything that I learned on Saturday on this recent bike ride, like, I left at 8 in the morning and I got back at 6. Everything I did within that day showed me that anything is possible. Anything is possible within the human imagination. You don't have to stress. You don't have to worry. As long as you think and you believe it, it will come true. And the more you think about it, the quicker it will happen. And that's why it's like, with what I'm doing, with how I'm doing it, everything that I think about will become true. And I think that the same thing will happen with you guys as well. Like, if you take the time to just sit, think, act upon your thoughts, and don't even act upon it, just trust your intuition. Like, that's what I did when I went on my trip to Australia. I was like, you know, I'm just going to trust my intuition of where I want to go, at least have an idea of where I want to be, and then I'll figure out the rest from there. Like, I would literally hop on a bus first thing in the morning, get dropped off somewhere, and wander. I had no idea where I was going to go, no idea where I was going to eat, no idea what I was going to do. And I had the best time of my life just enjoying the journey. The journey is the most important part. Imagine you have at least reached that journey, or even imagine yourself going through the journey too. You got to work through your past stuff first prior to being able to work on your future stuff. But once you imagine yourself on the journey and the path, everything just becomes so much easier. Everything becomes so much more fulfilling. the people you meet, the connections you have, the conversations you cultivate, they're more in line with what you want to do. They're more in line with the person that you are because you attract yourself. Man is a reflection of himself. So everybody that you're attracting in your life, everybody that you're talking to, is essentially a direct reflection of yourself.